Good morning. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. More than 2 years ago, the state of Maryland scrapped plans to build a controversial youth jail in Baltimore to house juveniles charged as adults. That $70 million project was to have housed 120 juveniles. Opponents lobbied vigorously against it, arguing the state should invest in youth activities, not youth jails. A compromise was reached. The state would renovate an existing facility for $30 million, creating 60 beds. 2 weeks ago, the state's Board of Public Works approved funding for that smaller youth jail. But yesterday, protesters on I-395 clogged traffic to protest it. Pastor Jamal Bryant of Empowerment Temple led the protests, and he joins me by phone to talk about it. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Why do you think the new youth jail is unnecessary?
I don't know if unnecessary is the right word. I think it's misappropriated. That the governor couldn't find $30 million for the jail, but couldn't find $11 million for Baltimore Public Schools. 121 teachers were laid off on last week due to budgetary cuts. And I think the focus needs to be on education, not incarceration.
Well, young people charged as adults, as you know, are currently held where adults are held, in the Baltimore City Detention Center, which is run by the state. And the U.S. Justice Department has said that that is against the law to hold the young people there. A spokesman for Governor Hogan gave a statement to the Baltimore Sun yesterday that said, in part, quote, "The new facility that the state committed to build by unanimous vote at the Board of Public Works will include classrooms, program space, and medical and recreation areas, and represents a vastly superior alternative to the current location," close quote. Would you have young people charged as adults continue to be sent to the detention center?
Well, the question also is, they're also in violation with the Department of Education, because many Baltimore public schools don't have adequate HVAC, air or heating. Many of them have leaking, and so I think it would be woe unto us if the jail is in better condition than the school. And if there has to be a priority, since both of them have broken federal law, both the jail and the education, to me, for a first world developed nation, education should be our priority over incarceration.
I meant to check this and I did not, so I may be wrong. I think the money for the renovating the detention center is in what's called a capital budget. You're talking about operating money to run schools. Is it really a switch? Is that a fair comparison? Are we talking about different tracks of spending?
No, both of which are allocated out of the state. Both of them were signed off on by the governor, or in this case, in terms of education, rejected by the governor. And so you're still talking about the same governing authority, the same governing principle, still has the accountability and the responsibility to vote.
Here on Maryland Morning at 8:01, that's Pastor Jamal Bryant of Empowerment Temple, a church in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Cast. Pastor Bryant led protests of a planned youth jail yesterday, which snarled traffic on I-395, and we're talking about his opposition to spending that money on the jail. Do you see a connection between how many beds are available for juveniles in jail and how many juveniles are actually arrested?
I see a direct connection. To me, my argument is built on education. Anthropologists and scholars far beyond my capacity will show that when there's a higher investment in education, it lowers crime, recidivism, and even how it is that we fund and finance. If, in fact, the focus is on jails, then that's where the young people are going to be. There's no question in my mind. If the state allocates $30 million for beds, they plan on filling them. I wonder if, in fact, we spent $30 million on job training or in higher education or specialized education, what message would that send to our children, especially in the backdrop of how the whole nation is watching us after this Freddie Gray incident.
But I'm still struggling, Pastor, to understand how specifically you would solve the issue of young people who are arrested, who are now held in the adult detention facility.
Okay. I understand the need for them to be separated. My issue, so that I can try to be clear, my issue is I do not understand how it is that we find money for incarceration but don't find money for schools. That is my issue. I absolutely believe that they ought to be separated. I do not believe 16-year-olds should be in cells or incarcerated with 30-year-olds. My problem, however, is how the state has allocated its priority that you can find money for incarceration but cannot find money for Baltimore Public Schools.
You have said that you'll hold similar protests 9 more times, and you've heard the criticism of yesterday's disruption, that you've heard the criticism of the risk of keeping emergency medical personnel from doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. Why go about the protests this way?
All of the criticisms are on hypothetical. We had no medical emergency yesterday. We had no arrest. We had no incident. When you deal with civil disobedience, it always causes inconvenience. If it doesn't cause inconvenience, it's not civil disobedience, it's a parade. So there's always risk for it. It's always a risk for it. And we can't go into a time vacuum. Don't forget when it is that the focus is on integration. There were those who said, oh, well, if you do it calmly and just wait for the due process, we won't have this problem. America has fallen in love with Dr. King after death. But while he was alive, the media, newspapers vilified him and said nonviolence was violence. And so I think that you have to take that risk. And here's the counter to that argument. We left there and marched on Martin Luther King, underscoring nonviolence, not breaking anybody's property, not breaking any glass, not being disrespectful to any police officers, and still get an issue. There's never be civil disobedience where you'll get absolute, complete public buy-in and support.
Governor Hogan, I understand, is out of the country for 10 days. You plan to wait until he's back for more protests?
I'll say this, that yesterday's was unannounced, and as I said yesterday, it's going to be a surprise party for the governor and the General Assembly because all of ours is going to be unannounced and unscheduled because I think that Baltimore has slipped into cruise control. And yesterday really was a wake-up call to say this movement is still afoot. Now that the cameras are gone, doesn't mean that the issues have gone away.
Pastor Brian, I appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Pastor Jamal Bryant heads Empowerment Temple. He led a protest of a planned youth jail in Baltimore yesterday. We've got more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. The WIPR website is also where you can go to pledge your financial support to this radio station, right there at the top of the homepage.